So take my heart, so take my mind, so take this body, use it for your glory and the benefit of your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake I ask this. Let us say together, amen. Saints, we started last week in a series called Enemies of Gratitude. And this week I'd like for us to talk about another enemy of gratitude called worry. So I'm going to be sharing with you from the subject of worry. Didn't read the scripture. Sorry about that, saints. How did I skip that, Susan? Susan puts it all in front of me, saints. She puts it all right there in front of me. I just skip right over stuff. So please, it's not her fault. It is mine all the way through. I have a great secretary. Amen. Somebody say amen to a great secretary. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion. Help these true companions. Help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Saints, thank you for your patience. I get excited sometimes, and again, I just skip over stuff, so please forgive me. But I get excited about being in church, and it's going on now. Matter of fact, this month marks my 40th year of knowing who Jesus is. And yeah. And saints, you'd have to come back with me to the South Bronx. You'd have to live in a drug-infested home. You'd have to be a drug addict as I'm a recovering addict. You'd have to know what that is to know the joy in my heart. I'm not saying that you don't have joy, because I know you do. It's obvious we've got joy. We've got joy to share with a whole lot of folk. When you hear our choir, when you hear the claps, we've got joy in this place. It's not boring in here. Amen. I'm telling you, I've gone in some boring churches, man. You go in there, you just fall asleep right away. Boom. And so just to be here, just to know God. So I skipped the scripture. Sorry, Susan. It was again. It's in there, and she's just a fantastic secretary. I am thankful this morning. I'm thankful for knowing Jesus for 40 years. I would have never met Charlene if it wasn't for Jesus. First good girl I ever had in my life. God gave it to me. I'm grateful. All right, I'm going to get to the sermon, right? I'm going to get to the sermon. I'm just happy. I'm happy, saints. To know, let me share this with you really quick. When I was a drug addict, there was no way I could have stopped taking drugs. There was no way. I started drinking when I was 5 years old. Okay, my murderous step-grandfather, who thought it was funny, that gave me a Budweiser and let me drink the whole thing. I fell all over the place, bumping my head and stuff. And then I was a full-blown drug addict at the age of 12 years old. was already snorting heroin, was already taking all kinds of drugs, out of school most of the time, did not graduate high school, did not know who God was, living in the projects. My mother was a drug addict as well. So you're talking generationally not knowing who God is. And then one day, a mother of the church, this is why I got so much respect for Nancy and the mothers of our church. We don't mess with Nancy around here. Amen. We don't mess. I'm sorry to embarrass her. We don't mess with Nancy. Strawberry, what is it? The strawberry social? We have a strawberry social. Amen. Because Nancy wants a strawberry social. Right? This is why I respect the mothers of the church so much. A mother of the church asked me for a year to come to church. I was selling drugs at the time. She asked me for a year, and I kept telling her, no, get away from me, being belligerent, didn't know how to respect folk. And after a while, the Lord touched my heart to go to church with this woman. And God saved my life in that month, that one day. Do you know I haven't taken drugs since? That's been 40 years. 40 years. God saved my life. So that's why I tell people, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here with you. All right, okay. Here we go. Worry. I'm going to get you out of here. Don't worry. don't worry. All right. Out of all the churches, it is commonly known in academic as well as Christian circles that the Philippian church was the Apostle Paul's favorite church. And why not? If you compare some of the other churches that the Apostle Paul had, he had some really troubled churches of which we are not one. Thank God. I've been doing assessments for church for almost 30 years. And saints, this is a healthy, vibrant community of faith. But Paul didn't always have that. Philippians was a great church, but like Corinthians and Galatians and some of the churches in Rome, he really had a difficult time. He had to deal with people who wanted to speak in tongues in church and not interpret the tongues so that they could feel good about themselves. He had people in other churches who would shame others because they didn't make as much money as others did. He had people in other churches who would separate themselves socioeconomically and just really be hateful to one another. So when Paul wrote to the Philippian church, you could tell that Paul really appreciated the Philippian church. And what Pastor Wooden want to see or have a Philippian church who shares in God's grace during the imprisonment of the gospel? What pastor wouldn't want a church that suffers from their belief in Christ? Who's the pastor who wouldn't want a church like the Philippian church who holds the gospel fast in their lives? It is no wonder that Philippi is the Apostle Paul's favorite church. The fact that this was Paul's favorite church does not translate into a church not having its share of problems. For there is no perfect church. You know what I call the perfect church? The church of one. In your personal church, everything is great. The music is good. The preaching is wonderful. And you have no problems. But when you're always a community of faith, there's no such thing as a perfect church. And this is why Paul wanted them to continue to be a healthy church. The Philippian church was suffering from a major problem, and that was worry. They were suffering from a major problem, and that was worry. Now, I've been trying to find a way to differentiate the kind of worry the Apostle Paul is discussing, beloved, from the kind of worry that we have all the time. Sometimes our faith gets shamed because we do worry about things that we should worry about. The Apostle Paul, whenever he dealt with worry, wasn't dealing with the kinds of worries that we deal with on a daily basis. For example, there'll be a worry that we'll deal with. We're going to overextend in our credit card use, right? Because it's going to be Christmas, and you're going to buy stuff that you didn't want to buy, and you're going to get stuff, and you're going to overextend. Basic worry like that, or the kind of concern that you may have when you've had a long weekend and you know that the work is piled up on the job, right? He's not talking about that worry. And a lot of times, people of God, we beat ourselves up because we have just basic worries every day, right? Like bills coming in the mail, things like that, basic worries. Paul's talking about a different kind of worry this morning. He's talking about the kind of worry that badgers and persecutes you. Now, how do we obtain peace and remain thankful when badgering worry has our mind tied in knots? How do we get rid of the kind of badgering worry which infects our days and ruins our nights? What do we do when we are persecuted by a worry we can't fix, a worry we can't solve, a worry we can't cure? Well, let's canvas our text this morning and discuss how Paul overcomes the kind of worry which badgers and persecutes us. First, the Apostle Paul was tenacious about Jesus. Tenacious. Nothing wrong with loving your Savior. In the text, it reads, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. My beloved, what you should not have to worry about is the love for your Savior. We know that love can be ambiguous and nebulous at times, but the word loving here describes actions which cannot otherwise be interpreted or can be interpreted as loving God, like giving yourself to others, like worship, like prayer. Loving God is about being resolutely tenacious about being faithful to God, even when it comes to advancing your own agenda. If your agenda gets in the way of God's agenda, you always put on the brakes on your own agenda. Loving God is being tenacious about maintaining a loving harmony with one another in the church. How you show your Christian witness is how you love one another. Saint John in the epistle to the epistle of Saint John says there is a way in which you know a church is a church because they have love one for the other. We witnessed it yesterday. There was a love here yesterday. There was a support here yesterday. That's how you know God is in our midst. So be tenacious about your love for Jesus. See about getting along and doing it with love. Second, how do we overcome badgering worry? Is maintain healthy relationships. Maintain healthy relationships. Beloved, the Apostle Paul expresses a concern about two sisters in the church who are at odds with each other but loved each other. Hear what Paul says. He says, "I urge you, Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life." Two people who love each other, two people who've worked with each other, two people who have strove with each other are having difficulties. Beloved, the difficulties that sisters go through and brothers go through can be overcome. Sometimes you just need a third party. I've been in situations like that where we needed some. If you've got two really passionate people, you need a calm person who can control their passions to handle an issue between two really passionate people. And most of the time it works out. When you're having difficulty with someone close in your family or significant other, deeply seek to be in loving relationship, which means healthy. Talking about it, dealing with it, and making sure there's no hard feelings. Because when you're in a bad relationship or in a tough relationship, that stays on your mind all day. You're in the car. I'm going to tell her what I think. Oh, boy.
How many times, husbands, we've been in the car, this time I'm going to tell her, this time, and you're turning that wheel into the driveway, and your wife says, honey, you want to talk? You say no, right? But again, because it stays on your mind, it badgers you, it persecutes you. So maintain healthy relationships. That defeats enormous worry. And third, Christians must replace overextended worry with prayer so that they can have less stress. There's no other time that I look forward to in our worship is when we start to pray for people we need to pray for. The Apostle Paul was an expert in knowing how to gain peace of spirit and mind when anxiousness overwhelmed him. The Apostle Paul was under penalty of death several times. The Apostle Paul was being chased by a band of religious zealots that vowed to kill him on sight. The Apostle Paul experienced a shipwreck, and now Paul is sitting in a prison writing this letter, chained to a wall, about 6 inches of sewage running over his feet, rats swimming across his toes, limited ventilation, and probably just a small window beaming a small patch of sunlight into the cell that he writes this letter in. Beloved, are you listening to me? He was intent on praying during the worst of his times. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be an expanded prayer. It just has to be a real prayer. Look at what the Bible, what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. People of God, beloved Elderton, pray, pray, pray. Sometimes prayer is the only difference between you having a right mind and not having a right mind. Pray, pray, pray. Pray. Paul knew how to pray. Pray. Paul understood what prayer was. Pray. We have an understanding of its power and its intent. That's how we overcome worry. That's how we overcome what it means for worry to take away from our blessedness. If we replace this kind of badgering anxiety with prayer, our stress level will fall and peace will rise. A formidable enemy of gratitude is worry. Gratitude can make you appreciate the beauty of a fall in the mountains of Pennsylvania. Worry will take it away. Love for Jesus grows in our hearts daily, and there's no shame in loving him. Worry attempts to take that away. Joy in healthy relationships fills our hearts with gratitude. Worry is designed to steal that joy away. Remain in a state of gratitude during this harvest season. Don't let the enemy of worry take away your joy. Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful this morning that I'm in church. I'm grateful, dear God, that I knew my name last night and I knew where I was. I remember there were times I lost weeks in my life, my young life, and things that I did, dear God, that you saved me from. I want to thank you, dear God, for giving us the gift of prayer, the gift of being tenacious about your son, and the gift of healthy relationships. Oh God, that's how we beat worry. We won't let worry steal our gratitude during these fall and harvest months. And please, oh God, when we do worry about just basic stuff, help us not to shame ourselves for just basic worry, everyday worry. It's those gargantuan worries. It's those badgering, persecuting worries. Some things we don't have any power over that really get us. That's where you want us not to worry. So please, dear God, do this, and we will forever give you the praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And God's people said, amen.